welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Aren't you glad for the mercy of God in Jesus Christ? I love how it states it in Romans. And this is one that's always a clincher for me whenever you're kind of struggling with issues of conscience and, oh God, how can you? Where my sin has abounded, His grace has much more abounded. It's kind of like, you know, being in debt $10,000 and you just don't know how you're going to get out of it, and somebody comes along with plops on $1 million. Well, you're out of your $10,000 debt. Praise God. And I know you've got your big $10,000. You're just wondering, how am I going to get out? Well, what God plopped down, as it were, through Christ is so much greater than what our debt was. Just far. You know, where our sin abounded, His grace is much more. He paid it off and then a lot more. So whatever you're struggling with, it's just part of that 10,000, and the million has covered it. Thank you, Lord. A real sacrificial, substitutionary suffering for that sin. It wasn't free, like our freedom today. It wasn't, freedom isn't free. There was real blood shed on those battlefields for the freedom of religion we can enjoy on a Sunday morning. And likewise, our freedom wasn't free either. It was really paid for. In fact, not only am I forgiven, but the Bible says I'm justified. Wow, the time has been served for what I've done. So I am justified, cleansed. There is absolutely no legal entanglements whatsoever through that precious blood. So be refreshed, be encouraged. Wherever your sin has abounded, His grace has much, much more abounded. He has paid off that debt in full and then a whole lot more. So not even close. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture, and this is basically Jesus giving some instructions to His disciples about something very special in their lives, a future arrangement, if you will, that they were about to have. And in John chapter 16, verse 23, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "In that day you will ask me, Jesus, nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And in that day," again, which is really this day, the day we're living in right now, "you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Wow. One of the things that the disciples saw about Jesus during His earthly ministry, and one of the things they really envied about Jesus, was this relationship that He had with the Father. Because throughout His ministry, throughout His life, He kept referring back to the Father, the Father. A miracle would happen, He'd say, "It's the Father in me. He does the works." He would teach, and He'd say, "I say what I hear the Father say, I do what I see the Father do. I have not come to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me." In other words, Jesus was like this ambassador for the Father. Of course, Jesus is God, but He purposefully did this. Ultimately, we'll see later, as a model for us to follow. But He laid down His life and He presented His life as one who was just submitted to the Heavenly Father. And so the disciples are watching Jesus. They're watching this amazing ministry. They're seeing people get healed. They're seeing, hearing amazing teachings. People are getting set free from demonic spirits and finding the love of God. And you know, he's doing amazing things. And everything revolves around the Father. He's always giving glory to the Father for everything that's happening in his life. And finally, Philip one day says, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Just show us the Father. And then Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you and still you don't know me? And what is that? That is Jesus. He was saying, I am perfectly, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why is that? Because he's saying what he hears the Father say and he's doing what he sees the Father do. He is representing the Father perfectly in the earth. So you could look at Jesus and see exactly the Father, see what the Father is like. And so they're going, wow, yeah, but we'd really like to see the Father. You know what? We have the Holy Spirit in us right now, don't we? And you know what the Holy Spirit's here to do? He's here, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He's going to take what's mine and he's going to show it to you. And he'll bring glory to me. And so the Holy Spirit in the earth, in our hearts, is a lot like what Jesus was in the earth. In the same way Jesus represented the Father, the Holy Spirit in us is representing Jesus and showing us his heart and thought and mind. And a lot of times we're saying, yeah, it's nice to have the Holy Spirit, but I want to see Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit is in you to show you Jesus. The same way Jesus was in the earth to show us the Father. And now, as we see Jesus saying, the Father himself loves you because you came for me, he is saying something is about to change. He doesn't direct this specifically to Philip. He directs this to all of his disciples. But here's the amazing thing. Not only was he this representative of a relationship with the Father, but he's about to say, something's going to change here, guys. Right now, if you got a question, you got to wait in line and ask me. But in that day, something's going to happen. In that day, he's going to leave the world and go to the Father. And in that day when he leaves the world and goes to the Father, something is going to change about the way you pray, the way you interact. He said, in that day, again, what is the day? It's the day he leaves the world and goes to the Father. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you've loved me and believe that I've came forth from God. Jesus is basically telling them this really cool relationship you see me having with the Father, you're going to have the exact same relationship with the Father. You're going to have the same one I have. And that's really strong language, isn't it? In that day, you will ask in my name, I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Wow. So when Ed House is praying, oh, Father, give me wisdom today. Give me grace today. Jesus isn't here saying, Father, I'm praying on behalf of Ed here. He needs wisdom that you would grant. He's saying, no, I'm not going to be praying the Father for you. The Father himself loves you. You have direct access to the Father. The same way you see me having this direct access to the Father, you have direct access to the Father. You know, after his resurrection, he spoke really strong. Mary, he said, tell my disciples, I'm going back to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. Wow. Praise God. He is saying there is something powerful that's going to happen in your life. In the same way you see me having this relationship with the Father, he said, you are going to have the exact same relationship. And I'm not going to have to even scotch for you. You're just going to be talking directly to the Father. You have an audience. Why is that? Because the Father himself loves you. This is the Word of God. The Father himself loves you. And this morning, I just want to minister along the lines of the Father's love for you. These concepts, I know, can just be almost mind-blowing. God of all the universe loving little old me. And as much as it might seem, you know, to the natural person, well, that's really arrogant to think that. No. It actually takes humility to believe that. It's easier to not believe that than it is to believe it. It takes faith to believe that the God of the universe actually loves you and cares for you. It takes really the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and show us that. But what we want to look at this morning is the Father's love for you. In my heart's cry my prayer this morning is that this is not a general message of God's love for you, but a very specific message of how God loves you individually, specifically your life, your situations, your circumstances, your relationships, your finances, your physical body, the things that you're going through in life, you, he really, really cares about you. The Father himself loves you. To be able to see that, to get a revelation of that this morning. As we look at that this morning, we're just going to go through the scriptures and we're just going to see what does that mean. First of all, in terms of the Father's love for you, we have to realize that it's a quality of love. The scripture refers to the Father's love for you as a family love. 1 John 3, 1 through 3 puts it this way, "Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." That's what happens when grace much more abounds over your sin. It changes you. "Therefore the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God." Now we are the children of God. That's done. Check. "It has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Wow. "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." The love of God did something for us. It literally changed us. Love. It's not just God loves you. Your heavenly Father loves spiritually. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, "You got to get born again and come into the family of God." That's what happened when the love of God came among. "I need you. I see my sinful condition. I just need God. I need you. Yes, I take your sacrifice." Big and wonderful happened on the inside. You got born again. The old passed away, all became new. Quality to that love that Jesus wanted us to know would happen and did happen. Ephesians 3 puts it this, "Whom the whole family," here again is that word family, "whom the whole family in heaven to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." There is something of the quality of family that comes through the love of God that God wants to clearly express, that there is a family love about it, a family nurturing, a family caring. And this is what I so love here too, where he says, "The whole family in heaven and earth is named." You know, when you think of the family of God, the scripture says this family is scattered in two places, in heaven and earth. Well, when you think of the Father God, where do you think of him being? Think of the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven." Praise God. And we know that what Jesus said, you know, he said, I'm going to go to the Father. So when Jesus ascended, you know, after the resurrection, he ascended to the Father who's in heaven. So the Father's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Now Jesus said, he said, "If I don't go, the Comforter won't come." That's the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to the earth. Father's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. And also, what did he say? He said, "The family of God, the whole family who's in heaven and earth. I have loved ones in heaven." And that's where they are. With the Father, with Jesus, and family is in heaven. The whole family in heaven and in earth. They're across two places. It's a beautiful, but it's really a family. And we're scattered across two realms. The scripture wants us to know that. God wants us to know that we're part of something bigger than even this earth. We're part of a family that transcends, spans heaven and earth. We've got loved ones here. We've got loved ones there. And God is there. The Father and Jesus is there. And our spiritual loved ones are there. What is this? This is family. We have family in, the House family has family in Oklahoma, and we have family in Wisconsin. But we're family. Praise God. And God wants us to understand his love in the context of family. I so love that. Here's another aspect he hits. Romans 8:14-16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, in other words, the Holy Spirit in you. A preacher can stand up and say, hey, isn't that great? Isn't that cool? Thing even stronger than me standing up here and telling you that. When you believe in him, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you is to bear witness with your spirit that you really are. So, yo, you're so arrogant. You think you're going to go to heaven. You think you can't articulate this stuff. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. He is telling you, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. Don't give up. He loves you. He's for you. He's with you. The Holy Spirit bears witness. You are a child of God. Thank heavens that he put the Holy Spirit in us to tell us that. Of all the things he could have told us, he's telling us, you're a child of God. And I love, too, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, you'll notice it's a spirit of adoption. Why is that? Because we were not born, none of us before Christ was righteous in of ourselves to be a child of God. That was a gift. Unsaved, sinners, however you want to put it, alienated from the life of God, and then we received him, and then the Bible says we went from the kingdom of darkness and were translated into the kingdom. God says, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. It's a spirit of adoption. The word adoption applies to every God's dear son. All of us crossed that chasm through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an interesting story I came across as it relates to that concept of adoption, I think, and as it relates to what we're talking about this morning in family love. This is a story, anonymous somewhat as far as the identity, but just says, John was born into a family of 12 children. They were very poor. He was the youngest. He never remembered his father eating a meal with the rest of his family. He had to work long hours to feed his family. One day, his father ran off with another woman, leaving his mother to care for all 12 children. At age 6, this is John now, his mother told him through tears that she was going to put him up for adoption along with 3 of his sisters. She told him that she had no choice. If she didn't take this step, they would likely starve. She placed an ad in a newspaper of a nearby town, and within 3 days, a couple responded. When the day finally came for John to leave, he said it was the worst day of his life. They were at the train station, ready to say their last goodbyes. He said, when the conductor reached down to take me from my mother's arms, I felt something die on the inside of me. His new family was very loving and kind, but it was not the same. John lived with a constant fear that one day they would give him away too. He grew into adulthood and finally went out on his own. He spent year after year absorbed in his work, trying to bury the deep hurt in his soul. One day something beautiful happened. In a moment of great discouragement, he visited a church, hoping he would hear a word that would boost his spirits. Little did he know his life would be changed forever. The preacher talked about how God loves to adopt people into his forever family. At the end of the sermon, he asked if anyone would like to join God's family. John raised his hand and then went to the altar. At last, the ache in his heart was healed. Jesus told him he would never abandon him, never send him away. After years of turmoil and hate, John felt love and acceptance. He now had a security he never dreamed possible. He felt the Lord speaking to him. And this is an amazing thing when God speaks to your heart. How does it look when God speaks to you? It's not something audible. It's profound thoughts in your mind that is clear and peaceful that you know you didn't think of. And he said this to him. He said, John, I know about that day at the train station. I know how you felt. And I've been waiting all these years to adopt you into my family. Praise God. The adoption of God. We've all of us been adopted by God into that family. And the cool thing about family, and the cool thing about the love of family, when you get it from the Father's heart and the Father's God, and God's, let me say God's family. You see, God is no respecter of persons. There is no favorites with him. He isn't even capable of that because he's pure love. In him is no darkness at all. He doesn't think that way. He loves his children. And that is a secure, it is the most secure family love there is when you're adopted into this family. Oh, this is the quality of love. The Father loves you. If you've received Jesus, that's the family you're adopted into. He knows you. He knows every circumstance, situation of your life, and he is just patiently waiting to love you and to be that Father. But you know, part of that is, again, believing that. He loves me like that. He loves me like that. When I approach him, Lord, I remember you're a good Father. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. To believe that love. It is a family love. No angle. It's unconditional. A lot of times we do that with our children too. We'd ask them, you know, do mom and dad love you because you're pretty, because you're smart, because you're strong? And we've trained them to know, no, you love us because you just love us. That's the best kind of love that there is. Actually, that's true love. And that is there for everyone. God so loved the whole world. Our number's in there. And it's a family. It's a family love. The next thing to know, too, regarding that love, it's a safe place, okay? We kind of talked about this a little bit during communion. You know, for we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm amplified of verse 15 says, we don't have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. In other words, we are supposed to make a conscious remembrance when we go before God in prayer with our hurts, with our pains, with our temptations. The scripture exhorts us to make a conscious remembrance that your Lord suffered all those same things. He knows the pull of the pull to do wrong, and he knows the pain when people do wrong to you. He's been on both sides of that coin. And there's a supernatural empathy that he has. So it's a safe place. It's a place to be able to come and really candidly express our hearts, knowing that he gets us in that place. Jesus gives us another example along these lines where he says in Matthew 7, he says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks and finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things who ask him? Here is a powerful thing. A lot of times we'll get, okay, God, I know it's a safe place. There are things I need, but I just kind of feel squeamish about asking. And Jesus says, don't feel squeamish about asking. Ask, seek, knock. That blesses the Father. It blesses the Father when he sees you throwing your dependence on him and needing him to make a way where there is no way. It blesses him when he sees you just abandoning your trust to natural buttons and levers and just saying, no, God, I'm putting my trust in you. I need you. I need your help. He doesn't see that as greed or strength. He sees that as humility. He loves those prayers that we're asking him because we need. And we can ask with the sense that he's not going to give us a stone and a serpent. That means it's a safe place. I'm asking him for bread. If I'm asking him for bread, I'm going to get bread. Praise God. Not some twisted evil thing. It's safe. And it's safe to ask. But a lot of times, again, in that coming, here's Jesus tells an interesting story here about two people who are coming into that place of prayer. And he puts it this way. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's kind of an interesting way he phrased that. He prayed with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Apparently they were within eyeshot of each other. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Okay. Prayer number one. Prayer number two. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyebrows to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Take a look at those two prayers. I don't know how many words. That's maybe 18, 20 words. That's just a handful of words. That one took a little longer. This one is very quick. And that's the one that reached heaven. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I don't know what it is. And I'm just saying we've all slipped in our prayer life and trying to approach God with this, you know, and I don't know why it is, but it is just, I kind of do know why it is. I just hate to say why it is, but here it is. Here's why it is. It's pride. A lot of times, you know, we approach prayer as this burden, you know, because we're straining, you know, to tell God what we think he wants to hear instead of just candidly expressing the issues of our heart. It's pride that we got to get past in believing that it's a safe place. There's a really cool little skit. It's just a couple minute skit that some people put together, which I think really brings this point home well. So, Emily, if we've got that one ready to go, go ahead.
Marriage, we're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, he who has created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at his command. I beseech you, take this woman that you've given to me as a helpmate and bring her to her senses that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask you now, in this area of employment, thee who gives me the sustenance in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be your will, that would bring you glory.
My kids are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You have blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that you would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with you, Lord, bowing before you, giving you all that you deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
GodCo, real people, real prayers.
That's humbling. Praise God. I mean, just think about it. If you were God, which prayer would you rather hear? I'm so glad, you know, we don't have this burden really of having to pray the perfect professional sounding prayer. And thank God he doesn't have to have the burden of listening to those professional sounding prayers. So when we're honest, we're both off the hook. It's a win-win for us and God. When we just, yeah. Remember that little prayer? I mean, again, this one, that tax collector's prayer is pretty little. But Jesus said, it got through. And you see those two prayers going on. Which one's going to get through? The flowery one or the one that's just really from the heart? It's a safe place. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to be a theological scholar. That's all stuff you'll grow. You'll learn, you know, and spiritually you'll learn more about God. You'll learn more about Scripture. It can help enhance your prayer life as you go through. But really, it's not all knowing all that stuff that really gets God's ear. It's just that humility. It's that dependence. Lord, you're a safe place. I need you. I need you. And again, it could be a short prayer, but as long as it's helped me. I've had that. I'm just praying. I'm going, God, help me. I don't know. There's some things I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. Is there something I'm missing, God? Is there like something I'm just not seeing about myself? Or, you know, I just really want to help. I want to help this person. I want to care about them. Lord, if there's any way I should pray for them. If there's, you know, I just show me what to do. It's just a candidness and an honesty and just father, child. That's what Jesus shows us that he wants in our prayer life. The Father loves you, And he doesn't want the pretense. He just wants you. He just wants your heart. And that's when really living for God is the joy of the Lord. When you realize it truly is. They're not just flowery words that he loves you just as you are. But you just talk to him as you are. And that same spirit that bears witness that you're a child of God bears witness that he's hearing your prayers. And the most blessed prayers that you'll ever pray is when you've got something in your heart and you just begin to pray. Even if it's rambling. It'll be rambling. It will be rambling. You'll just begin to ramble what you're perceiving and sensing. But all of a sudden when you're done praying, you know one thing. What you got in your heart, you got out. That's what God wants us to have. And there is something about that. And the Bible says, he just said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer. Just let your requests be made known to God. Then something will happen. The peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I don't have the answer. I don't have the direction. I don't even know what I'm going to do next. All I know is that what was in my heart is out with no pretense. Just why? Because he's a good father. He's a loving, caring, heavenly father. You kind of get reminded of, the advice that Aaron Rodgers gave a few years ago to Packer fans everywhere. He said, relax. A little adversity starting the season. And he goes, relax. And it was an amazing thing to just see the Packers take off. And a lot of times, that's a great approach in prayer. And that's what God is telling us too. Relax. You have a forum. You ever feel like your voice can't be heard? You're not getting a fair shake? There is somebody who will hear your voice. There is somebody who will give you a fair shake. You have a forum through which you can fully express your heart honestly. And it's an amazing thing. Even while you're praying honestly, there's something about it, but it helps you to be honest with yourself. And you go, whoa, okay. The Spirit of God begins to show you things. And you can even make some corrections and adjustments while you're just honestly being candid about what's in your heart. It helps you bring things in line. It's a supernatural Father love, but it's a safe place. No pretense, just a genuine flow from your heart to his. And then finally, it's forever. I love this. That young man at 6 years of age, given up in adoption, living, kind of wondering, when the other shoe's going to drop. Because a lot of times when things will happen to you like that, especially if it's family, it can affect your identity. It's just, this is who I am. This is my lot in life. This is where I was put here. This is what I deserve. This is my identity. And that's what the family love changes, that identity. Yeah, you're in the family of God, and there is no pecking order in this family. There is no respecter of person. He loves you. And you have the same audience that anybody. A pastor has no more audience with God than anybody in the body of Christ. We are all equally children of God. End of story. And then here, not only is it a family love and care, but it's forever. It's something that is going to go on and on and on. What we're experiencing here, the joy of the fellowship of family, this is just literally the tip of the iceberg of what we have waiting on us. This is what how the scripture describes God's purpose, our Heavenly Father's destiny for us. It says in Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, and he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Wow, the message puts the verse 7 even more wonderfully blunt. It says, now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. We think a lot about Christianity, what it means in this world, or fighting the good fight of faith and all that. This is very small part of why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Yes, we've got the forgiveness of sins, the new birth, but he did all that. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus ultimately, what was his words when it said he's about to go through? He said, I'm doing us all this so that where I am, you may be also. You hear him talking, Father, now restore to me the glory that you had with the Father. And our minds go, tilt, I wonder what that was like. Must have been amazing. And he said, that's really the whole purpose of the cross, is so that where I am, where is Jesus? He's in heaven with the Father. You may be also. Praise God. Our Father who art in heaven, Jesus who art in heaven, and us someday who art in heaven. Because of what Jesus did in that cross, said in the ages to come, he's going to show us. So it's a forever thing. This is not a temporary club. This is forever and ever and ever. Wow. It's one of those things that you go, praise God. This is not a short-term commitment. This isn't something where I'm going to get cut off. This is forever. This is for keeps. That's how much the Father loves me. Paul puts it in a beautiful way too. He said, I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us, amplified. But what of it? Talking about persecutions. I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Paul is seeing past this life. And when you begin to walk with the Heavenly Father, you begin to see past this life in a way that makes you steady in this life. Hebrews says about Jesus, he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and then sat down with the majesty on high. It made him steady. You begin to see the Father's love. That's what Paul prayed. Paul prayed, Lord, I pray you give him a revelation of the glory of the riches of the inheritance in the saints. Wow, what does all that mean? You're going to see glimpses of how amazing, how glorious, how awesome heaven is that will make you courageous and bold to do the Father's will. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Each one of us right now are about the Father's business. And the Apostle Paul, at one point he said, look, you know, persecutions and afflictions, they await me, but I'm not afraid of any of these things, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. How do you get that tough? How do you get that strong spiritually that you can talk tough like that? Because you're seeing past this life. You're seeing into a place of forever that makes you strong and bold and steady. That's the Father's love, the Father's grace. And then finally, the end scene, we get this revelation. This is us in this crowd. Where they had taken the scroll and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Again, what does all that mean specifically? I couldn't really tell you, but it's amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. It shows that it's beyond this life. It's beyond. This is just, you know, these bodies can't go much, you know, a few years, a blip, what the Bible calls a vapor. But there's a part of you that will go on and on and on, and it's going to be an amazing thing. I mean, I suppose when your body, your spirit leaves your body, you go, wow, there really is an afterlife. Praise God. Yes, he is there. He's real. God's real. He's in heaven. The presence of God, Jesus is there. There's my family in heaven. Been seeing my family on earth. Now I see my family in heaven. It's going to be an amazing thing. This is the promise that we have in him. This is the promise of the promise of the Father's love for us. And as we close this morning, I just want to close again with another short video here, but I think it's a beautiful picture of the Father's love for us. And keep in mind, in this particular segment, what you're going to see here, this is pure Word of God, all right? This is the Bible.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Jesus said, one of his parting words to us, the Father himself loves you. He said, I won't even pray the Father for you. Why? The Father himself loves you. That's what Jesus told us. That's what we have. He loves us. It's a family love. It's a safe place forever. What does a message like this mean to us today? What is this a practice? How does faith meet real life with this? Well, if you've never known this, this is an invitation this morning to know that kind of love, to know that kind of a family love, because it's for you. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Where your sin is abounded, his grace is much more abounded there too. If we know God already, if we've been walking with him, it might be an invitation to just come back, to talking to him again. Talking to him again, as a child with the Father, in a safe place, candidly from your heart. Just an invitation back to fellowship. And if you're there, praise God, it's an invitation to just continue to walk with him and be encouraged. This thing is forever and ever and ever. You'll never exhaust his amazing grace. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we just come before you in the name of Jesus, just to be stirred up, refreshed. Oh, in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father himself loves you. There are no exemptions in the world to that statement. We believe that this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree with these words, say, Heavenly Father, you are my Father. Thank you for your love. I believe your love. You are a safe place. I am in your family. I am your child. You care for me as your very own child. How much more will you give good things to your children? You've told us to behold the manner of love you've bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. I take time this morning to behold that love, to declare it's true. I believe you love me. Help me to return to a place of candid fellowship, speaking from my heart. Help me, Holy Spirit, to get what's in my heart out, to express to the Father everything in me. I have a forum at all times. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I've heard the story, but today I believe it. You died on the cross for my sins. I receive that gift for the forgiveness of my sins, for the change of my life that makes me brand new, that makes me a child of God. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Father, you are my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.